The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Israel is set to have its first elections since October the 7th, 2023. After almost 3 years of intractable war, who is Netanyahu's main challenger? Can Netanyahu be unseated? Well, joining me now is Christina Lamb, Chief Foreign Correspondent for the Sunday Times. Christina, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you. And I'm all in favour of 99 ice creams being 99p.
Indeed. Back in the day, they were. Now, you have been writing about this challenger to Netanyahu, but you've also been writing about generally the feeling on the ground in Israel. And we're all wondering at this remove, what do ordinary people feel about the war and what do they feel about Netanyahu?
So I just spent a couple of weeks there, and Netanyahu is the longest serving prime minister in Israel. He was prime minister when October the 7th attack happened in 2023, which was the most shocking thing that's ever happened there, and the biggest national security failure that Israel's ever experienced. So you'd think that that would be problematic for him. He was also already facing corruption and fraud charges, and Israel is now involved in wars on a number of fronts, Gaza, Iran, Lebanon, involved in Yemen, Syria, none of which are going well. So you would think that would mean that person would be very unlikely to be re-elected. However, the astonishing thing is he seems to have a very good chance of being re-elected. He is the great survivor, and he is sort of neck and neck in the polls with this man who I went to see, Gadi Eisenkot, who is the main challenger and quite an unexpected challenger.
Now, he was motivated to enter the political arena by a number of events in Gaza, but particularly the death of his son.
Yes, so he was the chief of the IDF, the Israeli army. He worked his way all the way up to the top. And then he was in Netanyahu's war cabinet after October the 7th, and he quit because he felt that the focus was much too much on and trying to kill Hamas and destroy Gaza and not on bringing the 251 Israeli hostages back, which is what he thought should have been the main priority. So he quit, but his son, like most young Israelis, had to do national service, was a reservist. So he was called up after October the 7th, and he was tragically killed a couple of months after that, trying to rescue the bodies of two of the hostages from Gaza with another soldier who was also killed in an IED. So he was just 25 and obviously extremely sad. So his father the Shiva, the Jewish mourning ritual, is said to have decided there and then that he would actually run for office against Netanyahu.
And he has a middle-of-the-road party. The question is, you've talked about him and said he's not exactly charismatic. In fact, he's anti-charismatic almost. And yet he's neck and neck in the polls. Can you explain?
Yes. His, you know, people describe him as a sort of anti-Netanyahu, as his own campaign manager says he makes very boring TikToks. Whereas Netanyahu is extremely eloquent, charismatic, and grew up in a sort of affluent neighborhood of Jerusalem, studied at Harvard, at MIT. Gadi Eisenkot is a completely different background. His parents were Moroccan Jews, so he came from a very humble background and worked his way up. And he has a really quite, sorry to say, but dull delivery, you know, a sort of dull in dress as well. But, you know, his party, maybe people want that because Netanyahu's the sort of ultimate showman, salesman, and Gadi Eisenkot has called his party Yashar, which is Hebrew for like straight or honest. And you know, that seems to resonate with people. They feel he's, you know, direct, down to earth. And the fact that he lost his son, and many Israelis have lost relatives in these last few years, resonates with people.
He is also pushing for an inquiry into the events of October the 7th, because, of course, never mind the conspiracy theorists who have all sorts of suggestions as to why October the 7th was allowed to happen. There's no doubt that Hamas committed the terrible atrocities of October the 7th. But Netanyahu has resisted inquiries into what went wrong.
Yes, I mean, it's astonishing that there isn't inquiry. As I said, that is the biggest national security failure that Israel has ever experienced. And so Gadi Eisenkot says day one he will launch a commission of inquiry. And that's very popular. I went to hear him speak. People, you know, applauded very loudly to that.
So that is one of his main planks. What kind of Israel does he want to see should he win? I mean, a party of honesty, because you read all sorts of conflicting views. There are those who say that, you know, the destruction of Hamas, securing Israel's borders, this is the only way forward for Israel. And then there are other voices. There are many of them, but how, you know, numerous they are and the totality of things, I'm not so certain. People saying, well, we're losing the soul of Israel. What Israel is doing is unconscionable. It's lost any moral high ground it had in international affairs. It's lost many friends and allies by the behavior. But the response to October the 7th, in other words, was so extreme that it has kind of lost the heart and soul of Israel.
Yeah, I think there's two separate things there. So Gadi Eisenkot, you know, very much says that he's fighting for the soul of Israel. And as you said, Israel's reputation now internationally, because of what they've been doing, has never been so low. And in fact, the first question when I heard him speak that he was asked was, what would you do to restore that reputation? But I don't think we should confuse that with thinking that people in Israel want a different strategy necessarily in these wars. I mean, one of the strange things I think for outsiders going there is you would think the priority of anybody taking over would be to end these wars, but it really doesn't seem to be an issue. And I went to a really kind of chilling place right in the south of Israel on the border with Gaza, less than half a mile from Gaza. So you can see from this hilltop, even with the naked eye, the ruins, the absolute devastation of Gaza. But you can also pay 5 shekels and look through binoculars and see close up. And there's a constant stream of people coming, and it's like a kind of tourist spot. It's really weird to be there. And everybody, without exception, while I was there, who came up was in favor of what was happening. And in fact, the very first lady that looked through the binoculars, she said to me, I'm horrified. So I thought she meant horrified by the destruction. And she said, no, I'm horrified because there's still some buildings standing. So, you know, this is the view, unfortunately, of many people there, because, of course, these attacks were so horrific on October the 7th. But I think many of us would question the proportionality of the response, to say the least. And yeah, that, you know, that it just does not seem to be the issue in the elections at all.
To what extent have the general Israeli population managed in their own heads to dehumanize Palestinians completely, you know, that they're not really equivalent human beings, they're vermin.
Know, people I spoke to were referring to them as saying that they're animals, and you know, I think we should also bear in mind, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about Gaza, and rightly, but I also spent a week in the West Bank, which is the other Palestinian territory, occupied territory. And, you know, within a few minutes of Jerusalem, you're in all these places that are being occupied, including actually parts of East Jerusalem, by Israeli settlers. And it's frankly quite shocking to see what's happening. The number of settlers now, the number of attacks, the gates that have been erected, cutting off Palestinian villages so people every day to get home from work or if they go shopping, they're having to do enormous circuitous routes, think journeys that should take 10 minutes are taking hours, or to get for kids to get to school. People are dying because they can't get to hospital because of these gates. So, you know, life is absolutely miserable for Palestinians in those territories, and it's not the same kind of devastation and destruction as Gaza, but it is very grim and difficult and getting worse. And some people believe that Netanyahu may be stirring this up more now too, because of the elections coming up, so to be able to again present himself as a kind of, you know, war president that has to be there to keep fighting off all these people.
Christina Lam, Chief Foreign Correspondent for the Sunday Times. Christina, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.